Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I'm currently doing the chapter on those things that permit ghibat. So, just to recap, one of the things that we had explained, that where there is a situation where a person is being asked for a reference, in other words, being asked for a reference with regards to a certain suitor or a certain woman for the purposes of marriage, or for a person in terms of a partner in a partnership, or somebody wants to engage with a person in business, in a business transaction, so he's asking you for a reference. And in a situation like that, when you're being asked for a reference and you mention some quality or some weakness of the person that is being asked about, that won't be referred to as ghibat. Why? Because it's for a purpose, a very valid purpose the person is asking. And we gave an example that if a person is being asked about a certain man that proposed to a woman, and that man perhaps is on drugs, and now if you don't tell the family and they get their daughter married to this person, for the rest of the life now he perhaps will suffer. For the rest of the life now the whole family will be under problems. Why? Because you knew and you didn't mention at the time when you were being asked for a reference. And a very similar thing in terms of a partnership, or a very similar thing in terms of a neighbor. So today's hadith will show us that when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked for reference, what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to say. So this is the beauty of the muhaddithin, is that they'll bring a chapter and then they'll bring a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that will support, that will provide evidence for the purposes of the chapter that they have brought. They don't just bring something without substantiating it. So this is what is known as tarjumat al-bab, where they'll bring a bab, they'll bring a chapter, and then they'll bring a hadith that now will substantiate the chapter that they have brought. And Fatima bint Qais radiyallahu ta'ala anha qalat, ataytu an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faqul inna abal jahmi wa muawiyata khatabani, faqala rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam amma muawiyya fasu'alukun la mala lahu وأما أبو الجهم فلا يضع العصا عن عاتقه متفق عليه وفي رواية لمسلم وأما أبو الجهم فضراب للنساء وهو تفسير لرواية لا يضع العصا عن عاتقه وقيل معناه كثير الأسفار. حضرت فاطمة بنت قيس رضي الله تعالى عنها. Before we explain this hadith, just some background on this woman. حضرت فاطمة بنت قيس radiyallahu ta'ala anha, she was from the Kinana tribe. She accepted Islam in the initial days, initial stages of Islam. She was first married to Abu Amr ibn Hafs, but in the 10th year of Hijrah, he divorced her. She was then married to Usama bin Zayd radiyallahu ta'ala anha, radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. One point to remember here that we'll understand and tie up with this hadith is this was an interim where she was divorced from Abu Amr ibn Hafs. She was divorced from him, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told her that don't accept any marriage proposals until you make mashura with me. In other words, first make mashura with me and then you accept any marriage, any suitors. So when this, we're explaining now that later on she got married to Usama bin Zayd radiyallahu anhuma. This was after this incident that we're going to mention now. So just put these things into perspective. She was divorced, then she came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for mashura, and Rasulullah sallallahu gave mashura, and then thereafter she was married to Hazrat Usama bin Zayd radiyallahu anhuma. In the 23rd year of Hijrah, Hazrat Umar radiyallahu anhu passed away, the consultations for the appointment of the new Khalif were held at her home. When Usama bin Zayd radiyallahu anhuma passed away, now that was her husband, she did not remarry, and she began living with her brother Dahhaq. When Yazid appointed him as governor of Iraq, she relocated with her brother Dahhaq. She was extremely intelligent and a woman of many perfections. 34 ahadith have been narrated from her. So this is one of the ahadith that have been narrated from her. So what she's saying, she said that I went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and said that Abul Jahm and Hazrat Muawiyah radiyallahu an have both proposed marriage to me. So now she took the two proposals that she had and she went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One lesson we learn from here is that when a woman gets a proposal or somebody proposes, it is nice to always put the mashura in front of some elder, to put the mashura in front of some senior. Unfortunately, in the time and age we're living in, the boys and girls make up their own decisions. The parents just have to submit. It's completely opposite. It's as though the parents don't have any say in the matter. They just have to accept, otherwise it's going to be a big problem in the house. But look at this woman. She was divorced. And after being divorced, she gets two proposals that are coming. She brings both in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the chapter we're doing, when a person is being asked for a reference, then to mention some weaknesses of the person that is being asked about, there's no harm so long as it's done for a correct purpose. So now she comes and she brings both these proposals in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that she had. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now starts commenting about each suitor. So he said, as far as Muawiyah radiallahu anhu is concerned, he is poor and has no wealth. In other words, how is he going to support you? How is he going to pay your maintenance? He is a very poor person. It's very difficult. In other words, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is looking at her condition, and according to her condition, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving her advice. This person, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, is very, very poor. How is he going to support you? So there's no harm in mentioning some weakness about the suitor. In this case, he didn't have sufficient to support her. Secondly, with the second person, Abu al-Jahm, he does not remove his stick from his shoulder. This is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, that فَلَا يَضَعُ الْعَصَىٰ عَنْ عَاتِقِهِ. He does not remove his stick from his shoulder. What is meant by this? In another narration in Muslim Sharif, it has it that Abu al-Jahm, he beats woman, which is an explanation of the narration, he does not remove his stick from his shoulder. In other words, he's a bit firm, strict. So he beats the woman. So therefore, that's also another weakness. So he mentioned, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned this about Abu al-Jahm. The first was Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. He does this very, very poor. And as Abu al-Jahm, he beats woman. One explanation given by he does not remove his stick from his shoulder. In those days, we know when people used to travel, they would put a stick on the shoulder, and the goods that they would carry, they would hang it in the front and they'll hang it in the back, and that's how they'll carry the goods. So one explanation that is given for this is that he travels a lot. In other words, marrying this person, but he's a person that travels a lot. So the first explanation is he beats woman. The second explanation is he travels a lot. This explanation is not the majority. The majority don't give this explanation. They give the explanation that he beats based on the other hadith, as we explained. So anyway, Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi has brought this hadith to explain to us that when a person is being asked for purposes of marriage, then he can mention some weaknesses, like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned the weaknesses of these two sahaba that had proposed to this woman, Hazrat Fatima bint Qais radiallahu ta'ala anha. What's interesting to note is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned this to her about these two sahaba. Now she accepted the mashura of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam indicated to her to marry Hazrat Usama bin Zaid radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Usama bin Zaid radiallahu anhu, his mother was a black woman, and in the kitabs it comes that his features took after his mother's features. But you know, the Arabs, they were very proud about the lineage, very happy about the lineage, very, very good looking. And here Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling this woman to marry who? Hazrat Usama bin Zaid radiallahu anhu. Usama bin Zaid radiallahu anhu had those looks that how we would normally refer to as a black person, so completely different to what an Arab would look like. However, she took the advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then she would say that later she said, we had such love between us that I was actually envied. People would envy me that so much of muhabbat there was between this couple, this husband and wife. Why? She took the mashura of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She didn't look at what the looks are, what the background is, who this person, nothing. She didn't go through all that. She took the mashura of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah gave her so much of muhabbat in the marriage that she was actually envied because of that love that they had in that marriage. This is mentioned in Muslim Sharif. Allah Ta'ala also give us the tawfiq. There's a lot of barakat when a person takes mashura, especially in matters like this, matters of marriage, matters of business, matters of choosing a certain job, etc. When a person makes mashura with his seniors, there's a lot of khair, a lot of goodness that comes out of it. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Wa bihi amal. Subhanallah bihamdi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.